We're certainly happy and glad to be back. There was a time or two that I wished we'd been in Tip City. There are 1 billion people in China, one-fifth of the world's population. To my knowledge, there's not one Christian. But I believe doors are being opened to allow us to preach the gospel for the first time in many, many years. The Chinese are very cordial people. They love Americans, by and large. They're happy to see us come. They make us feel welcome. And they're inquisitive people. We took several testaments, many from here, and then Brother Houchin brought several with him. And at first, we didn't know exactly how to work it to give them to the Chinese people, because there wasn't any use giving them the English Bibles to Chinese who didn't know any English at all. So we said we're going to have to find the people who speak English. And after a few days, we were able to do that. And we struck up conversations. We'd ask them if they spoke English. And we had that much in common. We gave them testaments and got some addresses. And we hoped to open up some correspondence. And I just wonder how we could get missionaries into China. Perhaps bring some of them over here, a few men, and teach them. It's hard for them to get out of China. They have to have a sponsor here. They have to have their plane ticket. And if we can get some of them out and convert them and then let them go back and sow the seed, we might be able to establish a congregation. You know, it's very sad when you see that many people that know nothing about Christ. We have a church in America in every city about. We're so free. To come together like we are this morning without any outside interference or molestation. We should thank God for it. Amen. The men who taught us, who fought to bring the body of Christ to America, to establish churches throughout this land, we should be eternally grateful for them. We have a great inheritance. We were in Beijing. We went out to the military base to be taken to Xi'an. I noticed that a plane landed and some military brass got off. They looked like Americans at a distance. We went across the street to a waiting room because the weather conditions wouldn't permit us to go to Xi'an. They'd flown in the United States Air Force military band. They were on a goodwill tour. And after a while, they came across the street into the waiting room to go into the restaurant upstairs to eat lunch. It was good to see them. We all gave them an ovation. And then we went up and joined with them and ate. There was a general with them, a lieutenant colonel, the singing sergeants, men and women. And after we ate, they sang to us. They sang America the Beautiful. And there wasn't probably a dry eye among it. America is beautiful. And yesterday we celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day. over 200 years old. And I appreciate this country more and more, the more I see the other peoples of the world and what we've been so richly blessed with through the ages, through the years. Well, so much for that. I could talk a long time. But the main thing about China, we've got to get the gospel to China. We appreciate your presence, the visitors that are among us. We're delighted to have you. I see the Shreves are here, and their daughter and son-in-law. We're glad to have them, known them for a long time, and some others that have come our way to be with us today. We're delighted to have you in the audience. Now, I asked Brother Smith to lead the new song, And Worthy Art Thou, and I got him out of, what should I say, Kelder. And I appreciate the songs that he sang because it fits in so well with what I'm talking to you about for a few minutes this morning. I want you to open your Bible to the 5th chapter of Revelation. Here is the throne scene. God is on his throne. And here is Jesus the Lamb. And John is weeping because there's not anyone worthy to take the book and to open the seals. And one of the elders says unto me, verse 5, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I'm talking to you for a few minutes this morning on the new song. This expression is found several times in the book of Psalms. I'm not going to take the time to read it or read them. Psalms 33, verse 3. Chapter 40, verse 3, chapter 98, verse 1, Psalms 144, verse 9, 149, verse 1. But I do want to read the one in the book of Isaiah because it has to do with our time, this dispensation. What God was going to do through his servant, Jesus Christ, and in Isaiah 42, verses 9 and 10, Before, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. What does the Bible mean by the new song? William Barclay states the new song is another way of saying new blessings of God. And every time God blessed his people, there was a new song. Like never before, ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed us through Jesus Christ in providing our redemption in his blood or through his blood. And we can sing the new song, and we have something that's never had or experienced before, and we have a new joy and a new peace and a new relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the new song. Here in Revelation chapter 5, there are two general things that they sing about. They sing, first of all, about the work of Jesus. Look at verse 9, if you would, of Revelation chapter 5. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And here are the reasons why. For thou wast slain. He was sacrificed. Here is the death of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus went to Calvary, surrendered himself, became the lamb without spot or without blemish, to satisfy the justice of God Almighty so he could extend to us his mercy. Here is the sacrificial lamb. But also we see in the text that the work of Jesus was emancipating. He redeemed us to God. Man was in bondage. In John 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're servants of sin. We're slaves of sin, as it were. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free. You became the servants of righteousness. If we practice sin, if we live in sin, we're the slaves of sin. But Jesus redeemed us. In Matthew 20, verse 28, he gave himself a ransom for many. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, the same idea is expressed. Except he uses the word all, he gave himself a ransom for all in due time. When the appropriate, opportune time came in the scheme of things, in God's plan and purpose, that Jesus Christ came into the world and he went to Calvary in order to set us free from sin. And if we'd been incarcerated, if we'd been held captive physically, we could appreciate perhaps more what it is to be released spiritually. If we're tired of sin, if we're tired of guilt, if we're tired of the burden, Jesus sets us free. That's his work. He redeemed us to God. Then the text states, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And here's the universality of it. The word kindred suggests ethnic, and tongue, linguistic, and people, political, and nation, social. And I don't care what the barrier may be, or what the separations are, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked about China a while ago, and they got a different culture and a different political system and a different language, and they're different ethnically. But be what it is, all over this world, whether we're yellow or brown or black or white, Jesus died for us. And we all can be brethren in Christ Jesus. And those differences, those chasms that once existed, we'll be brought together. The Jew and the Gentile that were separated by the law were made one new man in Christ. And the wars that we've had in years gone by, as we landed in Tokyo, I thought about not too many years ago, our men were fighting the Japanese. And many brave men gave their lives that we can have liberty and freedom. But now we can walk anywhere and not be harmed. And those that are Christians in that far-flung land, and we met there with one of the preachers in Osaka, and he told us how hard it was to convert people in Osaka, in Japan. He'd been there for years, but he's making progress. But they're our brethren in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for all people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go teach all nations, as the Great Commission says. And then in verse 10, we see the work of Jesus availing. And has made us kings in the King James Version, a kingdom in the Revised Version, a kingdom of priests. We are royal priests. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, among other things in verse 9, that you're a royal priesthood. And indeed we are. We're a chosen people. We're a peculiar or a possessed people, to show forth the excellencies of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Back in the first chapter, in verse 5, the latter part of it, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests, or a kingdom and priest unto God and His Father. And so here we are, the kingdom of God's. Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts. We're the priest of God. We can approach Him ourselves. Back on in the Old Testament, the Jew could go through the court of the Gentiles, and he could proceed through the court of the women. But when he got to the court of the Israelites, there's where he stopped, because he wasn't a priest. Here in the New Testament, we're all priests, made priests, as the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have access to God. Continuously, we can approach His throne. The work of Jesus Christ. And brethren, because of what He did, that He was slain sacrificially, that He made it possible for all tongues and all nations and all peoples to be redeemed by His blood, they could sing, "Worthy art Thou." But there's another phase of this that I want to think with you about. And that is the possessions of Christ. Not only His work, but they sang this new song about what Jesus is, or what He possesses. And they joined in by the angels. Now you just think about it. Here's the heavenly choir, or the heavenly chorus. And here were these four creatures and the 24 elders, and then myriads of angels join in. What singing that must have been. They sang about Jesus Christ. And they said in verse 12, with a loud voice. And I want to tell you, friends, as children of God, we need to sing with a loud voice. We have something to sing about. Isn't that right? It should be reflected. Our joy, our appreciation, our esteem, our reverence, respect for Christ should be seen in our singing. We're a singing people. And we need to lift up our voices and open our mouths and sing with understanding from the heart of what Christ has done for us and who he is. They said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." There are seven words here. To receive power. This one has power. It's the word from which we get dynamite. Jesus is able to perform. He's able to do, my friend, what he promised. Are you listening to me this morning? You know, we're so weak. And we look at the great, magnificent, vast universe. And we're so helpless. We can do very little. But Jesus is able to perform. And I remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, that I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Or James 4 and verse 12, there's one lawgiver who is able, there's your word able, who's able to destroy and to save. Jesus can save, and I don't care who the sinner is, God can save you. You haven't done anything so bad. I sometimes see people, well, I'm so wicked, God won't save me. Friend, let me tell you, Jesus came to save people like that. Those who murdered the Christ, God saved them. Those who were sexual perverts and debauched, the immoral and degenerates, God saved them. By the blood of Christ, he is able, the Bible says, he powerful. And when time is no more, and the consummation of God's scheme of redemption is terminated, Jesus will come and just speak, and this old world will pass away with a great noise and melt with fervent heat. And the graves will give up the dead because he's able. He's powerful. Well, he's powerful. And then it says he's rich. The riches of his glory. Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul says unto me, whom less than least of all the saints, was this grace given that I should declare, preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. They, my friends, go deep, that they're unsearchable by man. But they're there. And the reservoir doesn't run dry. God is rich. And there's an abundance of it. And it's not exhausted. It is not consumed, my friend. The grace of God is always sufficient. It's there. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, though he were rich, yet for our sakes or your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich or might be rich. Jesus indeed is rich, and we can be rich through it. So they sang, myriads of people sang, and they talked about his power and his riches and his wisdom. He knows all things. He can see the value of things. He can see the direction in which we're to walk. And so is wise. He's the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. And in him is hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 3. And strength. That means he has the power behind the strength behind the power. Jesus is able. And he has honor. Our Lord is to be honored. And he's to be esteemed. And he's to be revered because of what he is. And glory. And the word glory suggests his radiance and his brightness. That indeed he is God. And there's a statement, if I might share with you, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verse 14, that says about the same thing in the parentheses. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now look at the parentheses. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. Jesus, because of his divinity, because of his power, because of his strength, is to be honored And then to be looked upon as divine, as God, and blessing. Indeed, we're to bless him, and he can bless us, ladies and gentlemen. And now notice, as we bring this to a conclusion, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea. Now here's a reflection or reminiscence of Psalms 148. And if I'd thought of it, I might ask you to sing that one. Psalms 148. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And the whole universe, the stars and the moon and the sea and the fishes and the trees cry out in honor and praise to God as they function. And all creation, from the deepest to the farthest, praise the Lord. And I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. May God help us, brethren, to create within us an attitude like is reflected or manifested of this heavenly host. And Jesus then will really mean something to all of us. Religion won't be just a cold formality. It won't be something that we just go and get over with on Sunday morning. It won't be a stereotype. It will not be a ritual in and of itself. It'll have meaning in reality. Because out there is the Christ who sits at the right hand of God, who was slain as a lamb, who has riches to provide, who has power to execute his plan, who is coming again. Worthy is praise, indeed, of such a magnificent, admirable, noble person as Jesus the Christ. If you're in this audience this morning and you're not a Christian, we're going to sing the song of invitation. We want you to come and put on Christ. And long ago, the Savior gave the Great Commission. He put the gospel in a book to be preached by men. And the gospel is the power of God to save, the only power that he has to save. You must obey it, believe it and obey it. If you're subject to it today, would you come? What a grand and wonderful opportunity it is for you to hear what millions of people, billions of people, never heard, don't know anything about, but you hear and you know it. Why not come today? Say, I want to be baptized, I want to be a Christian, I want to go to heaven in the after a while. If you're an erring child of God, you haven't been faithful to the Lord, repent of your sin, come today and confess those transgressions, and let us pray. God will abundantly pardon. We trust that you'll do it, that you'll step out right now while together we stand.